thinking it's been a whole year since we've been here, at least on a Sunday morning. And what a good year it's been. And it's good to see everyone. It's good to see some new faces here. God is obviously blessing, and we're encouraged to be here. You are so precious to us. If you don't know, my name is John Bloom, and my wife, Ruth. We have four boys, some of which are here. We serve the Lord at the Emmanuel Mission on the Navajo Indian Reservation. A good long day's drive from here. We can still make it in one sitting if we push ourselves. I'm the principal of a school there, elementary and high school, K through 12 school. And I was thinking, you know, 9 years ago, they wrote and asked me to come and be the principal, after a couple years. And after a couple years, I decided I didn't want to be the principal. But the Lord had other ideas, and, 3 years ago now, 3 years I've been the principal there and signed on for another year. Maybe you remember last year I was sort of, had a really bad year, my second year. I was sort of discouraged, and but this was a much better year. We had a really good year in the school. Some children saved, but more, it seems like, in the high school, the young people responding in the discipleship and in the and growth in the Lord. We had a team from Emmaus come for a week of meetings in March, and they were mostly young ladies, and our girls really got to know them and responded to them, and we had the children's meetings in the evening, and a number of our Navajo young ladies got up in front of 70 or 80 children and adults and peers, and testified of their faith in the Lord, and sang and did skits and mime and all of that. And that had never, seemed like that had never happened in our school. We'd taken them other places, but for them to right there in front of their own peers, in front of their own family, in front of their classmates, that was very encouraging. So some good things are happening there. We had good staff. We agreed to build a new elementary school, and that's been exciting to see God provide. The building arrived on Friday in pieces, and now it has to be put together. I was sharing with someone this week that when the mission decided to build the high school building about 12 or 13 years ago, someone died to... and left about $30,000 to help pay for that building. And we're able to build it debt-free. Mission has a policy of not going into debt or not building until we kind of have the money. And the Lord provided a large sum through the death of someone. And then that didn't happen again until just this last year. We decided to build another building, and so the Lord took home another one of his saints and $30,000. I thought, boy, that's a pretty big responsibility to decide to build a building at Emmanuel Mission. Somebody's going to have to die in order to pay for it. But it was exciting to see, really, we had no money on hand a year ago when we decided to trust the Lord to build. Within a few short months, we had $20,000, and then at Christmas, the $30,000 came in. And then another grant for $20,000, and the Lord has continued to provide. We don't have it all yet, but we certainly have enough to get the major part of it done. In the summer, we have a lot of youth groups come. We had one from Arizona State University, collegiate students coming and helping. We just had a group from Boulder, Colorado come and start the construction of this new building. good for them to be exposed to another culture. They hold children's clubs in the evening out in the community. We have six more coming, and that's one of my big responsibilities in the summer. We have a little bit of a break here, so that's why Ruth and I are back to visit you all, because we feel like we need to keep in touch, because you're our family, and we love you very, very much. Appreciate your prayers for us, and of course for the other families that are from this assembly, and trust to see many of you this week and be encouraged. Willie was saying I'm an encouragement to him, and he doesn't even know why he loves me so much. But you guys are such an encouragement to us. It just tugs at our hearts when we're here to see you. Appreciate so much being sent out from this fellowship. And I was just noticing in the bodybuilder, sort of that short history, and then our letter is on the back, so you can read some of what we're doing there, but it was interesting. I was away at Emmaus when they bought this building, but I know there wasn't anybody here. I mean, there was just enough to fill the first couple rows. But what God has done in raising up a real testimony here at 6th and Elm, tremendous to see. I have to wear these things now. I'm almost 49, so the lighting in here isn't so good. So I have to wear magnifying things. I want to share with you about the word, some verses about the word consider. verses in the scripture that use the word consider. The dictionary says that it means to reflect upon, to give careful thought to. When you consider something, it's not just to think about it, but it's to think pretty hard on it, to look carefully into it. So we want to look at that, some verses there. The first one is in Job 37:14. Job 37:14. You remember Job, of course, is having a lot of problems and had been doing a lot of complaining. Why is God letting this happen to me? And of course his friends had their opinion. Probably because you've been bad, Job. You've been sinning. But finally at the end here, Elihu speaks. And before we get to 37, turn back to 33:13. Elihu says, "Why do you complain against him," that is against God, "that he does not give an account of all his doings?" Then 37:14. "Listen to this, O Job. Stand and consider the wonders of God. Do you know how God establishes them and makes the lightning of his cloud to shine? Do you know about the layers of the thick clouds, the wonders of one perfect in knowledge? Listen to this, O Job. Stand and consider the wonders of God. Think about, give careful thought to, the wonders of God." And in the context here, he mainly is talking about a thunderstorm. We do not have thunderstorms in Arizona like you do in Kansas. Although we had one just the other day. I heard thunder and saw lightning, and I thought, wow. Because it just doesn't do that on the desert. There's just sort of little squalls that come through, rains for a few minutes, and it's gone, and then another one might come through. But here, you have real thunderstorms. that'll shake your bed. Job says, that's like the voice of God. Lightning is like the hand of God. That's a powerful thing. Think about this, Job. Think about this, believer. Meditate upon the wonders of God. Not only a thunderstorm. I like waterfalls.
We just stopped at a waterfall over Wolf Creek Pass. There's a beautiful waterfall there. It drops about 100 feet. I was tired of driving, so Johnny and I climbed up to ride at the base of that waterfall. It's really kind of a sorry substitute for Niagara Falls, which I really wanted to go see this summer. Been there a couple times and wanted to take Johnny and Ruth again to Niagara, but we didn't get that far. To stand right at the edge of Niagara Falls and to see that water and hear that water go over. That's a wonder of God. Oh, there's people up there. Can you hear me? Stand and consider, give careful thought to the power and the might of God. He doesn't have to explain all He's doing, but there's somehow when we get close to those kinds of things, lightning, thunder, powerful waterfalls, the top of a mountain. I've been to the top of a couple, 114er, out in Colorado, a few years ago. It was real interesting. James was maybe 15 years old, and he was scampering up it like a mountain goat. And I would take about two steps and slide one back and then take my breath. And he said, "Come on, Dad, you can do it. Come on, Dad, you can do it." You know, usually it's Dad's name. "Come on, James, you can do it." But this was James. "Come on, Dad, you can do it." But to stand on the top of a mountain is awesome. To think about, to meditate upon the wonders of God. John Denny said the other day, you know, when you live in the city, it's hard because everything you see around you is pretty much man-made. You need to get out into nature, into the wonders of God, sometimes to kind of cleanse yourself of that. That's why we wanted to make a nature trail at KBC. Richard said, we need to get these kids out. You know, they come from the city. We need to get them out on the creek and out in the woods. And there's something about being in the mountains. There's something about being by a waterfall. There's something about seeing the stars at night. It's not automatic, but it can help us meditate and think about the wonders of God. And maybe we won't complain against God so much. Thinking of stars, let's turn to Psalm chapter 8. Maybe you thought of this verse when I mentioned the word consider. Psalm 8:3. "When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou dost take thought of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him?" Actually, the word consider is Latin for look at the stars. Com sideris. Com is look at, and sideris is the Latin word for stars. So this whole idea of consider has the idea of looking at the stars. I like to look at stars, and I particularly like to look at stars as a teenager up on the roof of the camp because there's less light up there. And there used to be kind of a little trap door, and I would often go up there with a girl because it's more fun to look at stars with the girl than it is just by yourself. Actually, Richard ended up putting a lock on that trap door so I couldn't get up there anymore. So I don't know if it's still locked, but if it is, it's because of John Bloom. There's always a story behind every rule at KBC.
And I'm in a lot of those stories. A few weeks ago, we were camping out on one of the mesas up there at the mission, Jerry and I and a bunch of the little kids. And I woke up in the middle of the night, maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And you know how sometimes you look at the stars and you can see the Milky Way? You know, there's kind of a band of bright stars across the sky. Well, this is the beautiful thing about living on the desert. I woke up in the middle of the night and the whole sky was like that. I mean, it wasn't just a band. It was like everywhere. You couldn't see any darkness. It was like the whole sky was light. I wasn't hallucinating. It was like the whole sky was the Milky Way. And the interesting thing to think about is that a lot of those points of light out there aren't stars. Did you know that? A lot of those points of light out there are galaxies. That is, billions of stars that show up to us as just a point of light. When I consider the heavens, when I consider the stars, the sun and the moon, when I think deeply about that, when I meditate upon that, when that is in my mind, when I'm looking at those intently, then I might think about, well, what am I? How insignificant might I be in all of this? Is God just way out there? Unconcerned about me? Well, no. So let's look at Psalm 107:43. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. We think about, we meditate upon, or we look intently into the wonders of God, into His creation, into the universe, into the stars. But the psalmist here, David, says, let's consider something else. Let's look into intently something else. Let's think about the loving kindness of the Lord. There's that song, you know, is He a God way out there who doesn't care? No. By faith I understand that it's a God who loves me. And we've been meditating on that this morning. It's just really precious to be in the remembrance meeting and hear one after another give testimony of the loving kindness of the Lord. And we see that at the cross, don't we? That's where it's best demonstrated. That God loves us. God cares about us. He's a loving and faithful God. Let us meditate. Let us look intently into the loving kindness of the Lord. He's not a mean God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He loves you. He loves me. I liked what the brother said. I can't tell them apart because they're all wearing the same shirt. Sean, I know Sean, but one of your brothers. We may not understand the mind of God or the plans of God, but we can trust His heart. That was very precious. Because God loves us, we can trust His heart. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, you're wise there if you consider the loving kindness of the Lord. First Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord. This is Samuel talking to the children of Israel. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. Think about, look intently into, meditate upon what God has done for you. What great things God has done for you. We think about His wonders. We think about His creation, and that is awe-inspiring to us. We think about His loving kindness. And now it really gets personal, what God has done for us. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, well, you know, there's all these heroes in the Bible, like Daniel, you know, and it would have been neat to be like Daniel and have God stop lions' mouths, you know, for me. I don't have too many stories like that. You know, has the sun stood still? Or, you know, has there been some miracle? And yet, if you think about it, if you stop and consider it, God has stopped a lion's mouth. In my case. God has done greater things than that in defeating Satan, who is a roaring lion, speaking whom He may devour. If we really consider what God has done in taking a sinner and making him a child of God, that's greater than any, you might say, physical, miraculous story in the Scripture. That is what God has done for me. That's a great thing. Think about that. What God has done for you. Think about where you might be without Christ. What you might be doing if it weren't for God's grace in your life. And that motivates us to serve Him. But you know, sometimes we don't give God the credit for what He's trying to do in our lives. We call it coincidence, or we call it, you know, just whatever's going to happen. I get a lot of flat tires. I guess I told you this last year too, didn't I? At Big O, they call me Mr. Flat. Well, I had another flat tire the other night. Driving home from town, John Denny and I and another, Ben Jones, had been in town, and I had a blowout. Actually, the tire blew out right alongside the road there, out on the highway. And so, got out to change it, and my spare was flat. But the interesting thing that happened was that about 3 minutes later, a car pulled up behind me that also had a blowout. See, it's contagious. Don't hang around me. And it was a lady by herself. This was 9 o'clock, maybe 9:30 at night. Dark. Kind of a deserted stretch of the desert there. A lady all by herself. And she had no idea even where her jack was or what a jack was supposed to do. So we were able to change her tire for her as well. And meanwhile, we kind of tried to air up my spare. And anyway, eventually we got home. But God gave us an opportunity to testify to this woman. She says, I had a blowout. What's going on here? And we says, well, you know, we believe probably I had a blowout because God knew you were going to have a blowout. And you're going to need help. And that's how God works. And she says, well, you know, interestingly enough, just a few miles back, I was praying. She claimed to at least have some Christian exposure. And she was asking God to protect her children and to help her have a safe trip home. And immediately she had, you know, within a few minutes she had a blowout, but there was men there to help her change that. Well, that's maybe not quite as good as Daniel, but it's close. But the point is that God was doing something there. You see, that wasn't just an accident or just a coincidence or just, you know, the normal things of life. I have lots of flat tires and not always does this happen, but God was involved in that whole process. It was also a testimony to one of the brothers who was with me, because after we had our second blowout, I didn't tell you about. He said, it's pretty neat to be with people who don't go crazy or get mad or fly off the handle when frustrating things happen to them. And I said, well, it's just the grace of God. And besides, I've preached an awful lot of sermons about not doing that. But says probably God is wanting to give somebody else a blessing in order to help me. I just help somebody else. And sure enough, one of the believers from the church came along a few minutes and was able to help us get home safely. Consider what great things He has done for you. Just as we would view the stars, just as we would look into the universe, and just be awestruck by what God has done in speaking those into existence. And by the way, He knows every one of them by name. And that would impress upon us the awesomeness and the power of God. So as we think about His death on the cross and what He has done in saving us, and how He works in our daily lives, we should look into that as well and consider those things. Be awestruck by what God is doing and what God wants to do and can do in and through you and me. He says, only serve Him because of what He has done for you. As we think about and meditate upon and look carefully into, consider what God has done for us, that should motivate us to serve this risen Savior, to serve this living God, to serve this loving God, to serve this powerful and mighty God. I like this word, consider. Look into, meditate upon God's wonders, God's heavens, God's loving kindness, and God's work. There's a couple other maybe that we could just look at quickly. Hebrews 10:24. The first ones there, we're looking at considering God. This is directed a little bit more at others, which I was thinking was why my sister's name is Joy. Because we used to sing that little song, Jesus, Others, and You. J-O-Y. And so we've looked at Jesus or God, now we're looking at others. Hebrews 10:24. 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us think about, let us look intently into, let us meditate upon how we can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How we can encourage one another. What stimulates you?
What motivates you to love and good deeds? What do other people do? Does this service do that? I hope so. As you look around Sunday morning or at other times when you meet together.
Worshiping the Lord together, singing praises to His name. I hope that stimulates you, and that's what it says here. Don't forsake this. But there are probably other things. Maybe there's a favorite radio broadcast or Christian music that you listen to. Probably with me, it's close friends. You know, close friends. Like my wife or John Denny or others at the mission there or some of you. That as I see my friends, as I see those I love going on for the Lord, that stimulates me to love and good deeds. My children are a stimulation to me. As I see them going on for the Lord, that continues to stimulate me in love and good deeds. Think about, are you stimulating someone else? Are you an encouragement to someone else? Are you doing the things in your Christian walk, in being here in fellowship, or whatever it might be, that would encourage others? Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And then Romans chapter 6, just in closing. There's many other verses that use the word consider. Thinking of Luke, consider the lilies, consider the ravens. Think about how God provides for them. God will also provide for you even more abundantly than them. Here's another one that has sort of a little different meaning, but I'd like to talk about it anyway. Actually, it's Romans 6:11. Because of what God has done in the first 10 verses, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Some translations may use the word reckon or regard. Not so much think about, but the idea of believe that this is already true. As you think about this, believe that it's already true. Even so, believe, reckon, regard yourselves as dead to sin, but alive to God. You see, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, lots of things happen. One of those things that happens is that we become alive. Our spirit becomes alive to God. Before, we were alive to sin and dead to God. Now it says, as a Christian, we're alive to God and dead to sin. It doesn't mean that we don't sin, but we're dead to the realm of sin, we're dead to the power of sin, because sin doesn't have any power over a dead person. In fact, earlier there it says, he who has died is free from sin. A dead person can't sin. We're dead to sin. As far as sin is concerned, we're a dead person. But as far as God is concerned, we're alive in the Spirit. Now that's the truth. We don't have to make that happen. As Christians, that is true about us. Sin is not my master. Sin does not have any power over me. Unless I let it. But that's the key to this verse. Consider, reckon, believe that it's true, act upon it, that you are dead to sin, alive to God. Therefore, we don't have to yield to sin. We don't have to sin. We don't have to give in to that temptation. And when temptation comes, we can say, I'm dead to that. Verse 2, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life, and so on. And this is a tremendous truth, something to consider, something to think about, something to believe that it's true. A lot of power there, a lot of help in victory over sin. Considering ourselves to be dead to sin. Believing that what God has said is true. View the stars. Look intently into. Consider carefully what God has done for us. What we should do to others to stimulate them to love and good deeds. And that we are dead to sin and alive to God. And our life should reflect that in the week ahead. Good to be with you. Let's pray in closing. God, we love you so much. You're such an awesome and wonderful God. And Lord, just help us this week to be more in tune with what you are doing in and through us. In and through those around us. Lord, as we see the flower, as we experience the dawn, or the sunset, or the thunderstorm, Lord, may it draw our attention to you. So often, God, we complain against you, and Lord, help us to be, more in tune with what you're saying to us. Lord, as we see others around us perhaps struggling, may we be there to encourage, to stimulate them. And Lord, may we have victory over sin in our own lives as we meditate upon the victory we have in Christ Jesus. Guide us in these things. Bless us as we part. Guide the camp, Lord, and the speakers and the children that are there. Give safety and help. In all of these things, we pray and give thanks to the Lord Jesus. Amen.